Welcome to Unlimited Realities. Thank you so much for joining us today. We have a really special show today. We're going to bring on a favored author of mine, Jeff Brown, who's also filmmaker of one of my favorite documentaries, Carmageddon. But today he's bringing more light to the planet with a new venture, and he's going to talk about his online course that focuses upon healing the wounded emotions from past relationships. Now, Jeff focuses a lot on understanding from a male perspective what the male goes through in evolving from a repressed emotion to a more open, listening, compatible, evolving male. So Jeff has brought a lot of information for both women and men to really explore relationships and how they dialogue and how they interact. Once again, Jeff Brown brings his online course to us, and it's really been exploring a tremendous amount of relationship issues that women have been able to move through. It offers a forum that provides a true safety net, supporting the female voice maybe for the first time, and also a lot of support in the forum where they feel comforted and nurtured to really explore their higher being. So without further ado, I'm going to bring Jeff Brown, author and filmmaker, on. Later in the show, we may have a little visit from Vinnie Brownerini and Camille Zagoni, who have been in an on-again, off-again relationship for about 30 years. Lo and behold, they finally are making progress. And they've made progress really in dialogue, and they've made progress in learning how to communicate more compassionately. So they are in the background, and they may come on. Camille's a little gun-shy today, but Vinny has been on our show before, and he's always a refreshing viewpoint. So later in the show, we may visit with them and talk about how they've evolved and things that may have come up in their relationship that they've worked through. Without further ado, let me bring on Jeff Brown, author and creator of Carmageddon, his documentary, and now he's working with all of us in his online course in healing past emotions. Thank you, Jeff, for being on Unlimited Realities today. Welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome. Pleasure to be with you, Lisa. Always is.
Well,
the course
thank
is called,
you.
Just so you know, the course is called Sacred Feminine Rising, Healing the Effects of Unawakened Men.
Sacred Feminine Arising. Now, this is a really deep emotional uncovering course, and it digs deep into the female, the female emotions. So here you are, very much a male's male, dealing with the female emotions. Have you received any comments or criticisms in regard to how can you, a male, offer such a deep, intense course for women when you're a male and really have no idea what women go through?
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. But, absolutely. I never take on in the course. I never sort of take on the assumption that I have a really subtle understanding of the female experience. I do understand the effect of unawakened male consciousness on the feminine because I've been him, and I can certainly remember easily and recall my impact. And really the course is an invitation to open up the can of worms, let's say, and to begin to address it more directly and to grant permission to the self to deal with the feelings and express that which hasn't been expressed and all of that. And there have been a few criticism strands. One of them has been that, there's just so much mistrust of the masculine that, if you do a course like this, it just doesn't make intuitive sense, based on the experience of many women on the planet, that a man could do a course like this in integrity, could do a course like this in a way that's effective and helpful. Because the assumption is if he's doing that, it's for some manipulative purpose, or he's just simply not going to know what he's talking about. And so there's been that. And my response always to that is, and this seems to end the conversation rather quickly, I write back, because it's reverse sexism, right? And I just ask the question, if I told you that I the feminine, female therapists, authors, and workshop leaders help to heal my experience with an unawakened mother. Would you have a problem with that, or would you tell me that I could only do that healing work with the masculine? And, of course,
good
when you
point.
Put it that way, it seems like a ridiculous question, right?
Right.
But the fact that it occurs to some women to think that in the opposite sense there's something problematic about it, I think is a reflection of exactly why we need this course, right?
Right. Trust.
Right. Yeah,
now,
absolutely.
With that piece even being addressed in regard to that you must have, you know, limited idea or even ulterior motive, that really comes from a very wounded perspective. And so to even come from that claim, that really shows you where people are. It takes a brave soul, it takes a brave woman to let down her guard with you and expose the emotions, but she also knows that she can trust you. So that trusting soul, that trusting spirit, that trust that you have provided to your clients, that's something that really comes from the individual. And the people who are really questioning you would never even go there. There wouldn't be that exploration because they're not able to really uncover that vulnerability yet. You know,
they don't trust the male voice. I mean, it's an audio course, so if you don't trust the male voice, you're certainly not going to download this course. That's for sure. And I mean, I was really, you know, the call to do this course, not unlike the call to write the apologies, was, you know, I was very nervous about it. It is a unique call to support the feminine in this way, especially from a guy who's been such a character and such an unawakened man in my 20s and 30s, such a womanizer or woman chaser or whatever, you know. And for me, really, that experience is where the understanding of where my brothers are coming from, it emanates from that place, of course. But, you know, I was real careful about it when I did this because I didn't, you know, I'm very self-admitting in the course. I don't try to present myself as some kind of a realized being. I mean, because that already we got a problem, right? And I never present like that because I never feel it's true. I'm always working on pieces. And I share stories of my own objectification of the feminine in the course. And, you know, and not just to let the guard down of the receiver of the course, but because that's really the truth of it. And that's where it comes from for me is I feel like I dance in both polarities in my life. And, you know, I have like a feminine soul, you know, it's like and this is developing and burgeoning over time in me. Like in my younger days, and I wrote about this in Soul Shaping, I really was an armored, edgy, feisty male consciousness. That's how I survived my mother. That's how I survived poverty. That's how I went to law school. That's how I punched my way through door knocking to make window money and all of that with that edge. And as time has gone by, and as a result of a heartbreak love experience I also wrote about in Soul Shaping, you know, I've found my tenderling warrior over time. And so I feel like for me to work from this place and create from this place feels really perfect to me because I by no means feel like I'm in judgment over the unconscious masculine. I even didn't like the term unawakened. It has a judgmental quality to it, but we just couldn't find another word to capture the heart of the course. But, you know, I don't for a moment pretend that I'm some fully awakened being because I think that's when the trouble starts.
Well, and I think that you're coming from such authenticity in regard to both your past and your present that you offer a really honest, clear perspective. And so there's that ability that you have that you can really step outside of yourself and see the bigger picture, and you're allowing that processing to be really supported with the female. And that's a really loving space to create for women, because when women go to therapy, they go to therapy. It's therapy. It's not necessarily, unless you have a very thinking outside of the box type of therapist, a place where you can really find your voice per se or focus on, you know, empowering yourself. You go there to process. But you know, that piece of empowering yourself is a little bit deeper and more intense, and what you're offering here is a tremendous gift for the next level of growth in relationships and the wounding of relationships.
Well, I mean, it's like, it is, Lise, it is like, how does one, you know, I mean, so many women, the other strand of criticism, just to say, was, you know, we as women are beyond this place of victimhood. We are no longer victims. We no longer have to heal the wounds from the malevolent masculine. He does not affect us anymore. We are live independent of him now. We are empowered beings. Now, clearly they're not working with a lot of the clients I'm working with, who are still completely not able to give themselves permission to fully express the anger, because women have such a profound ability to put away the anger piece. You know, they can cry, but they can't rage often. Men can often rage but not cry. And I know that's a generalization, but it's often true in my experience. And so really there's so much unhealed material on this gender battleground. It's everywhere. And there are a small number of people who either have worked their way through it, they're beyond the point where they feel like they've been wounded and have been victimized, and they feel genuinely, authentically empowered, or they're completely in denial about how much stuff hasn't been expressed and healed yet. But, you know, that was an interesting criticism. We don't need this anymore. We're past the point of woundedness. We're impenetrable. We're empowered female beings. And who are you to think that we need to heal from you, motherfuckers?
Wow. Okay, so in that place, is there a little bit of still, would you say, unresolved anger? I mean, it really comes out kind of in your face a little bit right there, you know?
Yeah,
intense.
Well, sure. I mean, I don't want to take over their experience. Maybe, you know, there are some people who really have worked it out, and but, you know, I don't know that they'd be that enraged at me. You know, they might just very in a plain speaking way say, you know, thank you, but this is not an offering that I feel like I need at this stage. I feel like I've moved past that, which is beautiful. I mean, that's the healing work. But the edgier ones, you have to wonder what their truth really is.
Right. There's a defensiveness, and
yeah, I'm triggering them. So why are they triggered?
Right.
You know, there's, you know,
exactly.
resistance is fertile, right?
Right, it's something is still a little buzzy and needs a little bit of nurturing healing. So, all right, so in your processing, in the healing, in the evolving with the Course, when you are working with women, are you seeing men coming in that are supportive of the women taking the Course, or even men who are inquiring about the Course, maybe to learn more about themselves? Do we have any of that starting to awaken a little bit?
Some men have done the Course, and
wonderful.
To focus on their experience with the malevolent masculine,
great.
Their difficult fathers in their lives. And, you know, I would say when I put the posts up about the Course, the men are pretty generally silent on the walls on Facebook about the Course. There was one guy who wrote and said, man, I was an asshole, and I want to pay for the Course for a woman who I negatively impacted on.
Oh, wow.
So,
How cool is that?
He said, write her and ask her, and I wrote her, and she didn't respond. I don't think she was interested in the nasty guy paying for the Course to heal from the nasty guy. You know, he might have just written her an apology letter. That might have been helpful.
Right.
But no, I mean, really mostly this Course, I mean, I'm going to do a course for dudes, but really mostly this course has really been about women doing it. And now women are, there's a group in Long Island now, and there's a group in Australia that are getting together, and they're actually doing the course together, which is lovely. So, you know, it's not an isolated process. It is for many people, they prefer that, but some people really like to do it in unison. And I've made an offering that if they do a group, that I'll come in on at least one Skype session at the end of one of them, and if they want me to, we can dialogue about the course, and I think it's quite nice in a group.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, what are the common aspects that come up in regard to male toxicity or abuse in relationships, or, you know, is there a common thread? Is there a common theme? Is there a common issue that you are working in healing with women overall? I mean, and I know everyone's individual, but...
The thing that's been on my mind lately a lot is the silent masculine. You know, the... it's just, I had this absolutely in me, and I can really understand where that was coming from. But the masculine who connects with a woman, maybe shares intimacy with a woman, and for whatever reasons decides, consciously or unconsciously, that it's not something he wants to pursue. And instead of just letting them know what's happening, he just disconnects entirely. I find something about this so bloody hurtful. I mean, I have abandonment wound stuff, so it, for me it would be, it's just a devastating experience on a very primal level to be disconnected from like that. But that seems to be one of the stuck places, because you see, the masculine has been so pedestaled internally in the culture and in the world since the beginning, really. And so when the pedestaled masculine disconnects, quite often the women take that on as an indication that they're unworthy. They're not even worthy of goodbye.
Yeah.
And instead of the empowered approach, which would be, okay, clearly he's an asshole, or he's unhealthy, or he's unworthy of my presence, quite often it becomes something that gets used against the feminine internally. And, you know, I remember being like that, like in my 20s, and I just didn't have the courage to say what was true. You know, and
right.
Then I evolved. I evolved a little. I remember my process. Back then, Bell Canada had a way you could leave a message in the Bell Underground for somebody on their Bell system. So I learned how to leave message. So I would started by leaving messages, and the message would be something like, "You're amazing. I had a really nice time, but I'm just not feeling the soul connection." So it was something. It was like a little something to acknowledge there was another human being on the other end of that experience, other than my narcissism. And that
right.
It wasn't right to say nothing, right?
Uh-huh.
It wasn't right to say nothing. And then eventually I evolved to the point where I could actually pick up the phone and talk about it, which was hugely difficult for men, very hard to really
right.
admit that and disappoint somebody in their so difficult. You know, all my early stuff about, you know, being unliked or unloved or hated or raged at, or all that stuff was there for me in the field. And but it was something in my evolution to be able to communicate my truth,
mm-hmm.
and something about coming out of the narcissistic structure and starting to become aware that there's another human being on the other side of it, and taking myself off the pedestal where suddenly I wasn't so self-important. I had to realize there was somebody else involved.
And
a lot of my brothers
don't
do that. A lot of my brothers
right.
don't do that.
And it's, you know, I can look at it and sit on the fence and say and play devil's advocate on this, because that's a hard piece to do. And if women were expected to do it, would women do it either? Because that is a very, very hard revelation. That's something where you have to get real clear and confident in your soul and say, hey, look,
right.
great time, man. Cool energy. But you know what? I'm just not feeling it, and I really wish you the best. I hope you find what you're looking for. God bless you. Cheers on. You know, who can do, you know, that takes a really, really,
really,
really evolved soul, you know? And so, honestly,
I mean, why? I mean, just to say, hey.
Because
you know,
nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings, really.
Well, you're hurting
and
them
that's
even more if you don't talk. But you're hurting them
exactly.
even more if you don't talk to them, for God's
exactly.
sake.
Exactly. You're,
talk
you're
about
right.
hurting
I'm not,
them.
I know.
No,
I mean, you're
I
right.
Know.
But honestly, it's human beings we're dealing with. We're not really dealing with evolved higher souls. We're dealing with human beings that are evolving into higher souls. So that higher soul consciousness is not necessarily where people migrate to from the gut. They come from, oh, shit, I'm pulling back. I'm going to run and pretend this didn't happen and stick my head in the sand. They do it for numerous things. They you know, ding someone's car. You know, it's getting less and less. You see notes on the car with phone numbers. People's integrity of running is much more prevalent today, and it's fear-based.
You didn't leave. Did you not leave a note on that car?
I don't ding, man. I'm a good driver. I drive like.
Okay. All right. Sure. Likely answer.
No,
I don't
no,
ding.
No. But it was. But it's one of those things. People are afraid for confrontation. There's this piece where, oh gosh, I'm going to upset somebody and I don't know how they're going to respond. And even though it's a truth, do I? It takes a really big soul, trust me. And it's not just a male thing. It's not just a male thing. If women were the ones who were responsible to do it, I guarantee you we'd have the same bitch for men. I guarantee
you. I don't know. Like, my experience has been that women are generally better at communicating termination than men are. Now, that's just been my experience. I'm only one person on the planet, but it has been. And, you know, in fairness to my brothers and in fairness to me at that stage, you know, and this goes back to the underdeveloped emotional IQ of the masculine, you know, a lot of times, and I talk about this in the course, there's this assumption, because of the pedestaled masculine, I think this is so important, there's this assumption that the dude knows what he's doing, he knows that he doesn't want it, he knows why he doesn't want it, and he's just not telling you. When in fact the reality is that in fact quite often he doesn't know what he's doing, he has no idea why he's not calling back. He's not aware enough or reflective enough to go deep inside and figure out what exactly the thread is that's telling him it's not a fit. And the troubling part of it is that many women take it on as a meaningful statement about their own value, when in fact he doesn't have any idea whether or not they have any value. He's just lost in his disconnected relationship of void and confusion. And you know, to find a way, as I was working the course, to convey to women, to empower women to understand that this whole idea of waiting for the guy to tell them, you know, for all of this, this is true, of course, waiting for the unconscious parent to express what they really feel, waiting for them to tell us why they behave the way they did. You know, we're expecting unconscious people to suddenly get conscious, and maybe that's what
right.
you're saying. They're not evolved enough to get conscious.
Right.
So that's fine for us to accept that they're not evolved enough to understand what's operating on them in this crazy world, at this level of human evolution. It's fine. But to find a way to still give power back to that, those who have been victimized or neglected,
mm-hmm.
abused, whatever it is, so that
right.
they don't carry forward the baggage from the silencing masculine feels really
yeah.
important to me. You know?
Oh, it does. And it's hugely important, because they have to feel, a lot of times these women don't feel confident in their voice. And so they don't
right.
feel confident to call up Joe Schmo and say, hey, look, we went out 3 times. You said you'd call me on Friday. It's 2 weeks. You know, what's up? You know, if you didn't want to see me, why couldn't you just be honest with me? And so women have that piece where they have to feel supported, empowered, and, you know, confident within themselves to really honor their own integrity and worth. And by honoring
right.
that
right.
worth, you know, they can address these schmoes who are running with their, you know, pants down their ankles. You know, you've got two different dynamics with the male and the female, and you have also many, many females, and I know this from the work I do, that go on a great date and are already putting the man's last name on theirs. So these men pick up on this, you know? It's like you go
yeah.
on a great date, and all of a sudden they've got you married, and these guys run
yeah.
to the hills. So there's two,
right.
you know?
It's fine, but let them have the balls enough to say that. Listen,
yes.
What I'm inviting is a conscious farewell process, okay? It's not a conscious uncoupling, as Catherine's talking about, because those are people who are partnered. I'm talking about on the most basic level. If you have intimacy with another person that you don't want to follow up with development of a relationship, you have a responsibility to tell them that. Not with silence, not with I'm calling Friday and ignoring them, not with ignoring them at the bar. You have a responsibility to go up and tell them that. And I think that is a very important step in the evolution of relationship on this planet.
Right.
So that we're always insisting that people realize that when they share intimacy with people, that they're
yeah.
sharing, it's a sacred act, they're sharing with another human being that could have impacted very profoundly, unbeknownst to us, and
right.
we have a responsibility, no, it's not an option, it's mandatory to actually
right.
say, it's not a fit for me. For whatever reason, it's not a fit. You don't have to justify your decision. It's up to you. You don't owe them anything, but you do owe them that. You owe them a conscious farewell process. And think of all the damage that wouldn't be done because, you know, and I've been through it, and I did it to so many people. And you're right. Like, I would go, I was in my 20s. I was in law school. They all knew who I was. They knew I was articling with Eddie Greenspan. I mean, I was on the Rolodex, and I was in the top three, okay? And they hang out at the law library and sit just in a way so I'd notice. I mean, they were trying to get a husband. I mean, they're biologically programmed to have children. That's what they were doing. And we all knew that, and that was the trip. And a lot of men wanted to do, I didn't want to walk that path at that time. time. But that's the path many men did, and so they were fine to do it together. And, of course, I felt objectified. And, of course, then I had a nickname, the one-date wonder, because I went out with two girls only once because I didn't want to go out with them a second time, you know? So it does go in both directions. So maybe
right.
we need a conscious farewell process and we need a conscious objectification process where
right.
we admit that we want to go out with that person because he's a nice-looking guy who's going to be a lawyer and we're going to live comfortably. You know, everyone, let's just get everything on the table.
Amen. Amen.
Vinny
I
agrees with me.
Too.
Vinny says, listen, Vinny hates it.
Vinny hates it when they objectify him.
He hates it when they don't admit what they're doing. If they just say,
right.
Vinny, I like you because I know you're a man about town. I know you got a lot of money. I know you, you know, and I can make
right.
you happy, and we can play
right.
that game together. It's okay. But don't show up with Vinny with roomy poetry and pretending it's a mystical experience when it's not.
Well, see, that's
he
why
hates
we always
Rumi.
Have
he
that.
Hates Rumi, huh?
Well, he hates Rumi probably because Vinny's a cards on the table kind of guy. He doesn't, you know, put these flowery verses in his. He needs meat and potatoes in his conversation, and that's why
pragmatist.
We have Vinny on the show so much, you know,
yeah,
because
he's a
nice, colorful little character of realism for our
yes.
audience.
I have him wearing a shirt now. He's downstairs. I have him wearing a shirt now that says, I am in Reeled. He's been wearing this T-shirt around. He plays tennis in it. He doesn't even really know what it means, but he likes the shirt.
Oh, you need to get him a little beret to match.
Do you want me to get him? You ready for him? Or?
Well, you know, we can talk with Vinny. I know Camille's running a little late, and she had
yeah.
called me earlier. She's got a little bit of stage fright, but she said if Vinny's on there and maybe she hears some talking, she'll feel a little relaxed and she'll
okay.
engage.
All right. Hold on. Let me get him. Hold on.
All right.
Vinny!
Okay.
So he's always eating cannolis after tennis. One second. Hi, Elise.
Vinny, how are you? It's been a long time, my friend. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm feeling a little tired today.
So how is the tennis game?
I wasn't in my focus. Today I got some new Puma running shoes, and I walked in yet. And I went out with a dame last night. It was intense. I'll tell you, it was intense.
Was it intense, good, or was it intense like you kind of got to slow this down?
A lot of triggers, a lot of those triggers that Jeff talks about all the time.
Yeah, you know that happens. Did you get a good night's sleep at least? Sometimes
no.
those triggers can keep you up.
Nightmares.
Oh, no. That's horrible. You know,
She ignited all my primal material.
Uh-oh. Well.
Yeah. But that's because I like her. Now I want to run away.
Well, you know, you've got to talk to Jeff about that. We were just talking about how that...
Yeah.
You know, those things affect a person. You have to talk to them. You know, you got to get that open conversation. You know, that's why you're here today, Vinny, because I
yeah.
invited you back because your perspective, your honest take on the repressed emotional male evolving as such you have, is really a refreshing perspective for my audience. And the audience really loves how honest you are in regard to the dynamics of the 21st century dating
yeah.
male. So
thank you.
You're welcome. And so as you know, we invited an old dear friend of yours on the show today.
Who's that?
We invited Camille Zagoni to.
Holy shit, come on already.
Yeah, this is your
oh
life,
boy.
Vinny. This is
oh
your
boy.
Life.
Here we go.
So we're going to. I don't know. She's on the line. She's on the back line, but she called in late. She did have a little bit of stage fright because she doesn't know what you're going to talk about. And, you know, you guys have a 30-year history. 30 years, Vinny. You've been on and off with this gal.
I'm schwitzing already over here.
Ay, ay, ay. So,
Where's my therapist? Jeff, where's my therapist when I need him?
Yeah, you're going to need Jeff holding your hand there, okay? Because I know Camille's not, she's a little gun shy. But, you know, you have to.
Yeah, she don't like guns.
No, she doesn't. And she doesn't, she likes the nurturing. She likes the nurturing, Vinny. And she actually had some wonderful things to say about you. So I'm
really
going to go
down. How much you pay her to say those things?
No. Let me start off, and I'll let you know some of the comments that she made, and then we can go from there. Okay?
Okay. I'll be
open. She first said that when she met you back 30 years ago, when she was just 32 years old, she said you were quite the cad, and she said she had quite an attraction for you, and the two of you danced and danced and were quite the number. But unbeknownst to her, you had many little dancers on the side.
Yeah.
Now, there was a love, there was a hate.
Wait a second. I mean, I was very, very clear with her in the beginning that I was not ready for a commitment. So there was no trickery. I wasn't ready, and she didn't want to embrace that truth.
That's true. She does admit that she was in her own little fantasy land, and it took her many years to get over her resentments over you.
Yes.
But she said you guys are in a good place now. Is that true?
Better. We talk sometimes. I went to Florida once to hang out on the beach with her in my Speedo. Everything was fine.
And she even said that the two of you support each other in your lives today, even though you're not necessarily a couple. You talk about relationships and dating experiences and kind of like a buddy of the other opposite gender, would you say? A little bit,
Buddy, I don't know. I'm fond. I'm always fond of Camille. You know, she's a beautiful dame. I've always been fond of her. But I think because I've done more work in the therapy, was able to hear her. And when you can listen to people, it changes the relationship. Changes it completely. I could never listen to her before.
Well, she said that too. She said she could not. She had difficulty communicating, and that was one of the aspects.
Yeah, she had to grow too.
Right, both of you.
She had to grow. We had to do some growing on our own. Yeah, I know. I feel that's true. I mean, I go to the wall for her. I think she's a great dame.
And she's coming from this place. Now, the history is you've known each other for 30 years. You were involved, then you weren't involved, then there were some resentments to go through and move through. But over the last 10 years, there's been more of a growing, budding friendship, support, relationship. And now you're at this place, correct me, of course, if I'm wrong, but to my knowledge from Camille, you're at this place where you support one another, you're unconditional friends, you'd be there in a heartbeat for one another, but you're not in, per se, a relationship. Now, there's a little bit of visiting back and forth, but there's not anything that is committed. And she's very okay with that. So I'm hoping now we can coax her onto the show a little bit, Vinny. Do you think maybe you can
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how to. I don't know if I can coax her. You know, she goes back and forth between aggression and shyness. So it depends what day you catch her and what time of the day and what time of the minute, really. You know, see, the thing about Camille was for me, and with a lot of women, this is true, Lisa. The problem is this blaming thing. It's like Jeff puts a course together, healing the effects of the unawakened man. Well, what about the effects of the unawakened woman, too? Come to a man and you don't own your peace, the peace that wants him because he has money, the piece that wants him because he's got a big Jimmy, the piece that wants him because he's got a pool in the backyard. You got to own that piece if
yes,
you want
you
him
do.
To own his piece, too.
That's right. Because
everybody's
right.
got a piece. It can't always be one gender's bad.
No, and that's what Jeff and I don't. I think you were in the basement when Jeff and I were talking about that because
I was in the kitchen eating cannoli.
Oh, cannolis! That's right. After tennis, you always like the cannolis. Okay, but there's this piece, with men and women where they really do have to take ownership, and it's not. I know Jeff's course is focusing on nurturing the female, but I always find myself playing devil's advocate, and yet kind of supporting the evolving male because. It does. There's some issues with both genders, okay, shall we say, and I'm not going to pick sides, but, we all are on the same planet, working the same tools and the same issues, so we might as well, support one another a little bit more. And I think that that's a piece that you and Camille really evolved upon, I mean, I know that you and Camille have had your differences, but I think that there's this piece where... Do you think, Vinny, that in your communication skills that you allowed her to speak more of her uncertainties, insecurities, maybe miscommunications or misperceptions without maybe interrupting her? Maybe you listened a little deeper?
Well, in the old days, I didn't want to hear any of it. I was running a big operation. I had a lot of worries, stresses dealing with the boys, different business angles and things, and I didn't want to talk about emotions. I had never been in therapy. I didn't understand my feelings. I didn't even know what feelings were. I mean, so for sure, as I learned to attend to my own residue, let's say, from my insane life, I was more able to hold the space for her discomfort and so forth. But you have to be a little careful with her because if you listen too much, it's never going to stop. So,
Vinny, what are you saying now? You started off doing really nice talking about me, and now all of a sudden you have to throw in a little thing. That's not what we've learned in our communication skills, Vinny.
Sorry, I'm a little tired. I'm a little tired today, Camille. I didn't sleep that good last night. But what I meant to say was, it's all about keeping it in balance is what I'm trying to say.
Now, Vinny, I think what Camille's got a little bit of an issue with here is that there's this piece here where you give her support and then you yank the rug out from underneath her.
Yeah,
because,
exactly. But look, she only shows up with the voice comes with the criticism. You don't hear her coming to say anything nice, and then we have the criticism. She's always starting with the criticism.
Well, Vinny, if you gave me a nice soft spot to work with, I would have come in with a nice, lovely compliment saying how lovely we have evolved
in our
relationship.
Babe,
but no, you have
baby.
To come in with a little insult.
I love you, baby. I mean, who takes you out for cannoli like I take you out for cannoli in Sarasota?
Nobody
come on.
Nobody takes me out like for cannolis, Benny. Now, I really think this piece with our relationship can help people. I really do. I really think people need to understand that I don't have to come across accusational, and I don't have to assume that you're thinking or doing something that you didn't say, and I also can take responsibility for my flying off the handle sometimes.
Everything's okay.
But I really, really think we've evolved and come from a really good place lately. And I think the audience could learn some of our skills and our tools that
well,
we've been
using
here in our communication.
We could probably
don't
learn from
think?
Them. But I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you for the 411 millionth time since we started to know each other. But I don't know if we're at the early stages of communication skills. I think we could learn more from the audience, but... you know, we've made progress. We've definitely made progress. We brokered a deal, I think. I think we've brokered a good deal.
I think that's a great perspective, actually, Vinny, because I know Camille feels like there's a tremendous amount of growth, but obviously in regard to how you two are still communicating, there's still a little bit of tense, almost like a feeling like you guys need to kind of hug, because there's a place here where she's a little defensive.
No, I wouldn't say I'm defensive,
Don't say that word, Lisa.
I know.
Defensive.
I'm sorry, Camille. I didn't mean to come across as defensive.
No,
Camille, I honestly, if you were to listen to the show back, you might hear in your voice there's a little snarkiness, and I'm on your side, Camille. I really am.
Yeah,
but we're trying to get to the bottom of this in regard to,
support.
A little female dialogue. You know,
yeah.
I know Vinny better than I know Camille, and that might be a little bit of why there's this piece of me trying to help, you know, dialogue with you two.
Well, I don't think you really need to interfere, Lisa, when I've known him for 30 years, and you haven't known him for 30 years.
I mean, you'd think if you're in Florida and the sun's out and it's warm and you're on the beach, you couldn't be that hyper, but I guess that's not the case.
Now, Vinny,
don't worry, Camille. We're going to have a Skype later. We'll have a Skype. We'll smooth things over. Don't worry.
Vinny, you know I was a little nervous about coming on the show. And you're insulting me. It's really not a very fair forum, Vinny.
I love you, Vinny.
It's not fair.
It's not good.
We're talking about the wounded female. And what the hell are you doing here, Vinny? You're wounding the female. What the hell? Can't you just offer a little bit of support, a little bit of unconditionalism? I think we've come a little further than this, Vinny.
Well, I think I thought so too until now. But, all right, let's just do some meditation breath work maybe for a moment and see if we can come back to our.
Well, you know, there's this piece, Camille, where I think you are taking things a little too personally. And, Vinny, I have to say, you're a little bit, you know, you're pushing buttons, dear. And for somebody who's a little on edge anyway, those buttons being pushed can really promote a lot of hostility. So
I admit that I get a little scared.
I know.
I get a little scared.
You know, there's
the shrill. It's that shrill voice thing. It does, like it's cutting into my flesh.
I know. I hear you.
I don't do good with shrill.
Well, my Long Island group studying with Jeff seems to like it very lovely and well, and I think that, you know, when Jeff comes on his little Skype session with this group, they're going to have a field day of questions, because I'm going to be talking to them about the male persona via Vincent Brownerini. I have really seen Vincent grow from this very self-absorbed male 30 years ago into somebody who's actually a little bit of a cuddler now. He's actually a little bit of a cuddler.
I like cuddlingus a lot.
Yes, and he's not afraid to admit it. He also, I saw him shed a tear at his son's graduation.
I don't know if that was a tear. I think it was food allergies, but no, something happened.
There's a lot of emotion coming out of that soul with Vincent, and I have seen a man that I did not think would ever change. I swore to God so many times, dear God, will this man ever change? Nope, never change. 25 years, never change. All of a sudden, boom. Vincent,
surprise. Now, if only you changed, we'd be doing a lot better.
Well, I'm working on it, Vincent. I'm working on it. I'm working very, very, very hard, and I'm also at a point where, hey, look, we're all humans. When I screw up, I'll say, yeah, I'm sorry, I screwed up. Let me try again. I'll try a little better.
It's okay.
But you know, Vincent, I'm giving you credit here. You know, you've evolved. You're a wonderful man. I really like spending time with you now, where I couldn't have said that 25 years ago.
You know, I loved you,
we just
and
had
I hated
sex
you.
And argued. I know, I know. Well, we're doing our best, aren't we?
Now, Jeff, would you say that Vinny...
Well, let me give him the phone. Hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Vinny. I thought he was on the other line.
No, no, I'm good. I'm here.
Hi, Jeff. Well, have you been listening to the dialogue with these with Camille?
Well, I didn't listen to. I listened to just to him. You know, he didn't seem too happy, but it's okay. We'll work it out.
Now,
we'll have like a we'll have like a decompression dialogue session at the tennis court.
Okay, so there's this piece here that I think there's still some work that they need to be working through because she's got some defensiveness. I think the resentments are still under the blanket a little bit. They're not completely resolved. And I'll tell you, he got a little snarky with her, you know? So there's some issues here that I think, you know,
there's
I'll
talk to her. There's
a reason
she's in Florida and he's in New Jersey. You understand there's a reason for that, right?
I know. But you know what?
Some people aren't meant to, you know, commune over time like so
no,
much.
No, so. I totally.
Yeah.
She
you know,
that.
You can't throw
totally
any two
does.
People in a therapy room and it's going to become an evolved relationship. There has to be some kind of a synergy that's workable, right?
And that's the piece that I think they're missing right now because I think
they've been missing it for 30 years, actually.
I think what it is they process the same way, and there's nobody to stop to listen. So that stopping piece to listen is really, really paramount. And you know, she's high energy. I mean, I don't know if she's ever going to even, you know, she says she meditates, but I'm not quite sure about that.
I'm not sure what she calls meditation is what Eckhart Tolle would call meditation. I think it's a different kind of a thing. It's kind of a frenzied hyper beach walk or something. Cursing and cussing as she goes on her cell phone.
Or maybe Zumba-ing down the beach. I'm not quite
screeching.
Sure. But there's a piece here where the anxiety is. I know she was a little nervous about being on, but she was. They kind of got off to a rough patch. He said he's going to Skype her. I just want to give you a heads up on this. I don't know what he's got
they Skype.
Going
they,
on there.
They scream on Skype all the time. Trust me. I mean, I think the thing is because of the unavailable, emotionally, interactively unavailable masculine. Some women have had to overcompensate, become shriller. More intense, more combative, because they're holding so much of the frustration of a non-communicative connection. And so when it comes through, sometimes it comes through so strong, and I think that's the case for her, that guys like Vinny just shut down. You know, he had a shrilling mother, so he can't hear it, he can't hold it, he can't sit in it. So it doesn't work. It doesn't get them anywhere. They go back to the old patterns of reactivity, right? The both of them need a therapist in the left pocket and the right pocket with them at all times, and all four therapists sitting at the table with the two of them if they're going to find a way to bridge the gap. I mean, I really believe that. They make a little progress, then they go back to this pattern.
But there's also, I see in personalities, some processes are much more effective than others. And sometimes personalities that are naturally a little bit more aggressive, shall we say, seem to have a progress that is a little bit different than the mellower souls who really integrate the process. And so there's a few more layers that I think have to penetrate with that caustic, cynical, personality. And sometimes that cynicism actually can get in the way of really an open heart, open mind, more of that loving peace. And, you know, Vinny's a challenge of a personality, so of course he's going to draw in a challenge of a woman because neither one of them are really anything that's going to be waving a banner and drawing in a whole lot of admirers. There's a piece here where, you know, they've got so many similarities that instead of looking at the similarities, they're looking at the similarities as differences and annoyances when it's actually the same trigger in the same person.
Hmm.
So, you know, her shrill is his obnoxiousness and vice versa.
Maybe. That could be true. He has very belligerent armor. There's no question about that.
And that's, you know, so these two really eke on one another. I mean, I was really quite intense here trying to interject and ask a question between these two when they're in full front and communicative mode here. But, you know, I had to take a little bit of Vinny's side here because she was sitting in the background and she didn't like what he said and came across with a barrel. But there's this piece, I think, that Vinny really should look at in regard to he really doesn't want a very aggressive female, and not many people would, which is why it's good you're doing this work to help these wounded females integrate the sensitivity, the compassion, the feminine, and not feel like they have to be on defense, that they have to have their armor up, that they have to be protected. And these are the women who, you know, a lot of times want to have another relationship or want to have a fulfilling relationship. So it's real important that they move through these things and melt this armor. So, boy, whew, that was exhausting.
Those yeah, it's two. Intense. I mean, the heart of the course for me, the heart of all of it is about, you know, it's like we want to jump ahead to this place in ourselves and in our way of relating in the world that's more, I don't know if evolved is the right word for it, but that's just kind of at a healthier point. But it's real hard to do that if we don't really know how to clear our emotional debris. And if that debris continues to linger and it's holding tanks and congeals into weapons that turn inward against the self and outward in the form of projection towards others that come into our lives. So, the course is really nothing more than an invitation or a reminder for those who may have forgotten that they need to just go back down the path. You know, I call it the power of then, and reclaim the material that hasn't been moved through. They have a right to move through it. They need to move through it. There may be lessons at the heart of it. There may not be. It may be just about liberating their consciousness from the holding tank of it, so that they can move into the next stage of their lives, not necessarily feeling incredibly excited about men. It really depends on how difficult their experience has been, but at least not being burdened by the feeling that they're carrying some other person's baggage up the hill.
Now, how long is the course? Is the course something that is weekly? Is it how is it structured?
It's six audios, so you could do it at whatever pace you wanted.
Oh, nice.
It starts with excavation process, excavating the feelings, and then expressing the feelings. And then working through the feelings, trying to identify any lessons experientially, relationally at the heart of it. There may or may not be lessons. And then working towards a self-love and self-forgiveness process, and then reopening the heart at the end of the process. And, you know, I invite people to focus on one relationship. Many people have many connections they need to work through. And just to focus on one at a time, they can keep doing the course once they've downloaded it. And there's a 64-page exercise book. So there's exercises related to the processes that I talk about.
Nice.
And some meditations. I read the apologies at the beginning, the apologies to the Divine Feminine. And then I read it again at the end, and I ask them to see if the course has landed in such a way that they hear, receive the apologies differently, or if they feel cynical when they hear it, if they believe what's being said to them, if they believe it could be seriously true for me, if all of that. And so, you know, it's just really just like a mini workshop process related to healing one particular connection at a time from the history. Yeah.
Now, do they work at all? Do they work solely on their own, at their own pace? Do they ever interact as a group or with you, or is there email, like do they have
people
a place
write
where
me.
They can ask questions? Okay.
Yeah, people, they write for support. And I do some private sessions because I do session work arising from the course sometimes. I've done a bit
okay.
of that. Yeah, and I encourage, you know, I say in the beginning to be careful, make sure that they feel strong enough to go through this process. I mean, so often it doesn't occur to people because we're not conditioned to move through our material in the culture, but also sometimes people just aren't ready for it. I mean, it's, you know, there can be a lot of material that comes flooding through. So, and now the groups are starting to happen, and which I really like. I may put together a Facebook private group, which I did for my Sacred Purpose course, but my experience has been they don't end up, it might be more actively used for this course than for the Sacred Purpose course, because maybe there's more of a relational need in the heart of the Course, and so I'm thinking about doing that. But yeah, it's mostly a solitary process. I've known some people that just listen to the audios all the way through, never get to the exercise document, and just like the male voice speaking to some of the experience of dealing with the unconscious masculine. You know, part of the problem is that you know, if it's true that genders polarize, then there are things men understand about men that women don't yet understand about them. So there is something to be said for a male sharing some part of his experience of being an unawakened masculine. There's a few key sentences in the course that women have written me about that made a huge difference. Sometimes you take a course and you get one sentence out of it that shifts your lens, you know. And a lot of the times it has to do with disempowering the distancing masculine so they can reclaim their own power. It's like people waiting for the parent to finally love them, waiting for the dude to finally explain why he took off. And their lives are completely on hold. So I really encourage people in the course to reclaim their lives and not let their life be dependent on some information provided by some other human being, because that's just a terrible thing to wait for.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's this piece where, you know, with healing the wounded emotions that women carry around from feeling rejected or feeling abandoned or having those re-triggered sometimes by childhood events, there's this piece where there's a nurturing that begins with themselves, because in first taking the course is the first step to really self-love in healing this often wounded part of the heart. And so the self-love is really that first download. And that piece
right.
then is generated outward. I mean, it goes to the families. It's extended outward. It's like the pay it forward, you know. It's like it goes out to the children. It goes out to the employees you work with. It goes out to the business clients. And so the energy vibration, you become a little bit more entrusting, a little bit more open, a little bit more aware, and a lot less wounded with each step of the processing. And this isn't just for the wounded female, because as the wounded female gets healed, everyone she touches also benefits from that. And that's, you know, that's a great light you're bringing to the planet, Jeff. So that's a wonderful, wonderful healing aspect. I think it's really poignant. Actually, I think it's really wonderful that you, Jeff Brown, the male, are offering the course, having gone through it from the other side, that you offer such a perspective, a depth of perspective. And so I think that they actually would have a win-win situation with someone that's not only compassionate to where they're at and what they're going through, but also, you know, dialogue or perspective, the male perspective coming from the male. I think that's invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. I mean, the course has been wildly downloaded. It's really active since it started in January. So, I mean, that says that it's touching people and it's benefiting them. And I made it affordable so that it could be more easily accessed. And I also send the course out for free to people who can't afford it, or at lower prices for people who want to pay lower than the minimum. So that I've never liked the idea that that a price is too high for those who most need the course. Quite often, the people who most need healing courses are the ones who are more challenged economically. So I always want to make things as accessible as I can. And I like the offering. You know, I feel good about it. I was real careful. I did it in studio. I was careful. You know, it's a very touchy subject. I mean, gender is, it's like talking about the unawakened parents. It's a very, these are very touchy, taboo topics in many ways. And so I'm happy about it. There's nothing about it that I want to change. And, you know, I'm writing this love story, and the love story really comes back to the honoring or elevation of the feminine. And this just seems to be a thread that continues to come through my work. And even in the model of spirituality book that I'm writing next, it really is about advocating for a more relational, horizontal model rather than the hierarchical and paternalistic, head-tripping masculine model. I really feel like my work in the world is to honor the wisdom of the divine feminine. And, you know, and then men come on and criticize me and say, you know, I'm pandering to the feminine and all that stuff, but they don't understand where this is coming
no,
from.
No, and yeah, that's
I know,
your calling.
I know where it is. It's so much deeper than that.
It's so much deeper, and everyone's always going to have an opinion. Now, where can the audience find your downloaded online course so they can subscribe, they can buy, they can evolve, they
look
can
at
move
it.
Through
yeah,
this.
Check it out. Soul Shaping, it's on soulshaping.com. It's right when they open the website. It's right there.
Wonderful. All
yeah.
right. So soulshaping.com, Jeff Brown, author, filmmaker, and now online course of The Sacred Feminine, Healing the Wounded Emotions. Thank you so much, Jeff, for being our guest today. And thank Vinnie Brownerini for being our guest today, and also Camille Zagoni for coming on and sharing some perspective. Thank you, all of you, for bringing an hour of insight to the audience on Unlimited Realities. May you all have a wonderfully blessed week, and we'll talk again next week. Thanks again, Jeff. Have a great week.
Thanks, Lisa. You got it.